The reading today can be found on the Pew Bibles, or Pew Bibles, going back a bit, isn't it? on your blue Bibles, on page 1065, or it can obviously be accessed through the screen behind. And the reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we've been doing a whole series this term on sharing our story. How many of you feel much more confident, equipped, and excited to go out there and share your story with people? Two? Three? Oh, maybe a little bit? Okay. Well, in all reality, it is still a scary thing to do, isn't it? It's still daunting to feel that we somehow have to find the right words. We might have thought about it more this term than before, or just refreshed our memories, and so we might have it a bit more clearly in our heads what it is that we have to say, what it is that we have to share with people. But it's still daunting. And so I'm just going to be really honest and say, I shrink from it still. Okay, so please don't feel any guilt about that or think that, you know, that you're a terrible person because your vicar is just as bad. It is scary, but I know that I want to do more. And that's the key. That my heart's desire is to be more excited, more enthusiastic about sharing my story. Underneath some of that is the reality that the reason I find it scary, the reason it's daunting, is because I'm trying to do it in my own strength. And how foolish are we that we do that so often? When we think about sharing our faith, we suddenly go, oh, but I won't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what the right thing to say is. What if they ask me a question? The reality is that it's so much more about being filled with the Holy Spirit and Him giving us words. But today we're thinking not just about the Holy Spirit giving us His words. We're thinking about the Holy Spirit in us actually doing something even greater than our words can achieve. As we think about what it means that we share our story, we're encouraged today to ask that question, what impact, what difference will my sharing make? Why do I do it? Do I do it, and this is, you know, me speaking, do I do it to kind of go, yes, Jesus loves you and He died for you, and then I'm going to run away? Or do we do it because we really believe that if somebody knew for themselves the depth of God's love for them, His power to change their lives, to raise them out of whatever struggles, difficulties, darkness, discouragement, bad things that have happened to them or been said and spoken over them, if God was able to raise them out of that, how would their life change? Would it be better? Yes! Are you sure? Because some of you look like you're not convinced. If individual lives can be changed, then actually what happens when we're speaking about God and about God's love and God's faith, one person's life changed, and then in their life, their family, their community, that changes. And God's love transforms their experience. And so on, and so on, and so on. And what happens is that actually the world is changed by this. And it's not always down to our words. Sometimes it's simply down to us being faithful and obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in everyday, ordinary life. Because when we are filled with the Spirit to be who God has made us to be, we will be atmosphere changers around us. It's not always about our words, but it is always about changing the atmosphere, about bringing the kingdom of God to earth. When we are fully aware of our status as children of God, then we become kingdom people. More than just being Sheila, or Catherine, or Janine, or Y, or Jackie, or anybody else. It'll take me too long to go through everybody. Rather than just being those individual people, we become Holy Spirit kingdom people who operate with Holy Spirit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We operate with the giftings of the Holy Spirit that He has put into every single one of us. And as we do that, as we live that out in each and every day life, we will inspire hope and faith in those around us. Because those qualities, love and joy, peace and patience, those qualities are appealing and infectious. Have you ever tried stopping laughing when somebody near you is laughing? There's a lady called Ingrid Henson who writes a devotional online, which is particularly powerful and poignant words. So this is what she says. This is how she describes it. What happens when you arrive to visit someone who is sick or depressed? What happens when you arrive on the scene of devastating loss? What happens when you arrive in a place where there is anger? What happens when you have a friend who is fearful or lonely? Too often we succumb to the existing atmosphere around us instead of establishing God's kingdom in that place. Jesus himself was a person who changed the atmosphere. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." When Jesus arrived, there was excitement for the lame and the sick. There was anxiety for demons and the religious spirits. There was expectation that because he was there, things would change. The stirring questions should still be there for us. Who is this that we are bringing? The same Jesus. He is God with us. Jesus calls us into relationship with him, and where he goes, the kingdom of God will be established. And so our arrival anywhere as Christians sets the stage for a confrontation between darkness and light. We declare that anger is bound and peace reigns. We speak out love, God's perfect love, which will cast out fear. We, by our lives, declare hope and call out destiny for which each person was created. We pray and see the sick healed. We see demons cast out, cleansing of lepers and the raising of dead. We preach the kingdom of God and forcefully lay hold of the kingdom of God in our own lives, advancing God's kingdom everywhere we go. I read that and was like, yes! And then I was like, no. Do I see those things in my life? Not as much as I would like to. But sharing our story, being people, God's kingdom people in the world, is about more than just our words. It's about our very lives. And we can only be those kingdom people if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? Well, this is the very question that Nicodemus and Jesus were discussing in the middle of the night. Now, Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He was a Pharisee, somebody who was important within the Jewish culture within Jerusalem. And he should have been somebody who knew all about God and understood theological things, which is why Jesus is quite critical of him when he doesn't get it. But he wants to know about Jesus because he's intrigued. He's curious. When we meet people, or when we hear about people who God seems to be working powerfully through, we do wonder, don't we? What's God doing through them? What does he want to say? Quite often when we go to New Wine, anybody booked?
Me.
The Nows are booked. The Shepherds are booked. I haven't booked yet, but I will do. But when I'm hoping to go to New Wine, and I look at the list of people speaking, I'm like, yes, I'm excited to hear that person speak. Why? Because God is doing something in them. They've connected with God's purpose for their lives. And something about what he's doing in them and through them is exciting. It stirs people. And we want to know what it is God's doing in them and through them in order that we might discover if that's something that connects with us as well. In the same way, God is able to do that in each and every person. You don't have to be a new wine speaker for the Holy Spirit to be at work powerfully in you or through you. Phew. The Holy Spirit in each of us is able to establish his kingdom, to bring heaven in our lives. We get that deposit. That's what the Holy Spirit is, a promise, a deposit of all that is to come. If we really believed that and really took it to heart, then things would be different. We would be stirred and the atmosphere around us would also be stirred. Nicodemus is curious because he can see that Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to know how, why. What can I do to kind of get this, to see your understanding of the Heavenly Father that all of Jerusalem is confused by and doesn't understand? And Jesus explains, it's about being born in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to give us new life, to be reborn, to have spiritual birth in him and become God's children. God's children, kingdom people, will be led by the Spirit in whatever direction he chooses, just like the wind. Now, I'm not sure if many of you know this. Anybody who's ever been in teaching knows this. Wind is an atmosphere changer. Church, I'm not talking about beans. It's not wrong, no. You try and stop yourself laughing now. Oh, that's good. Wind changes the atmosphere. That's it, isn't it? Everybody is off somewhere else. Wind blows away all of the leaves of winter. And the leaves fall down when there's litter everywhere. Wind kind of comes in it and it blows it around. It sends children into a weird frenzy, doesn't it, Steve? Stop it, Janine. Keep breathing. The wind can bend trees which seem like they cannot give, they do not yield. Wind can create a storm at sea or in the desert. Wind stirs things up. It changes things. In the spiritual realms, the same is true for those filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Jesus is calling us as his kingdom people to cause a stir. Sometimes we need to speak up for injustice when something is going on in our workplace that isn't right. When something comes up in any scenario where we think, well, the world and everybody else might choose to go this way because it's more economical, because it's going to suit us, but actually it's not right. Kingdom people, those filled with the Holy Spirit, are ready to cause a stir when the Holy Spirit says, now is the time to speak up. And it creates curiosity. It creates interest. It creates a spark. It might not always end the way that we would hope that it would. But actually, God is powerfully at work in the stirring of those waters. We're called to be radical people. To do things that are unexpected in the world, a contrast. We are children of light. And in the dark world, that means sometimes standing out and being different. Atmosphere changes. Light is the other metaphor that Jesus uses in this conversation. And he refers to himself as being the light of the world, but he also makes it clear that he expects his followers to also be light for the world. We sang that song already this morning. We are a city on a hill. We are meant to be a shining light in the darkness. Again, light changes the atmosphere, doesn't it? In any darkness, light will bring comfort, hope, wisdom, insight, or perspective. Those who have been changed by the light of Christ, who have known themselves to be loved and directed and guided, they can bring that same light by their friendship, support, encouragement, challenge, and other things to others. Kingdom people live God's light and God's truth each and every day. And as they do that faithfully, the atmosphere around them is affected. Where we share our hope, hope in others will grow. Where we radiate joy in the Lord, even in dark, difficult, painful, strenuous times, where we radiate the joy of Christ, others will become more joyful too. When we operate as people who forgive and restore relationship, others will be challenged to be more ready to show mercy themselves. Where we as kingdom people give sacrificially, the prevalence of selfishness and greed is diminished. Where we serve others with love, expecting nothing in return, because those people can't give us anything in return, love will increase in our community, in our town, in our world. And when we listen and hear God speaking to us, as we willingly and prophetically speak out God's words, people will hear and be changed by them. As we think about what it means to be sharing our story, part of our story is the way in which the Holy Spirit is shaping us, the destiny he has called us to. We cannot be atmosphere changers if we haven't yet fully embraced God's calling on who we are. Maybe the idea of being a kingdom person, being so filled with the Holy Spirit that we change, maybe that feels like too much of a stretch or not quite where you're at. But I really believe God is speaking to each and every person here today. He wants you to know the fullness of his calling and purpose for you. He wants you to know that if you're not yet there, then you're missing out on something good. He has, for each one of us, amazing purpose and plans. I believe he's saying, don't wait anymore. Let God fully show you how he wants to change your life and make you more than you can imagine or ask him to make you. And then, by being that truest self, you will find the Holy Spirit working through you to change the atmosphere everywhere you go. You will find people being curious about how it is that God has changed you. How it is that God is at work in this powerful way in your life and through you in those around. What happens when we are operating from that place? People respond to Jesus in us. I want to encourage you that this week there will be opportunities that God gives you, people that you meet, places that you go, situations you encounter. Your task as followers of Jesus is to bring heaven to earth in each of those scenarios. What is it that Jesus is putting in you so that you can have your own joyful, hopeful, loving encounter with the people in your life? Sharing your story is not just about words, it's about the way in which you engage with other people in the everyday. And so I just want to end with a moment of silence for you to ask God to show you a place that he wants you to be prepared for this week. Perhaps it's somewhere that feels spiritually dark in your life, workplace, friendship, scenario or place or geographical location, particular person. Perhaps it's somebody who's going through a difficult time or just got a negative attitude. Or that somehow the atmosphere around that situation or that person or that place is something you know that God is calling you to bring change to this week. I want to finish by praying for each one of you and myself, for God to be in you, strengthening you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are already at work in each one of us. I thank you for the gifts you've put in every single person here at New Hope today. Thank you for the purpose of those gifts, for the purpose of the experiences you have given us or allowed us to go through that shape who we are. Please, Lord Jesus, will you help each one of us to surrender ourselves to you afresh today? To seek out again what that means to be born of your Holy Spirit. That we might be filled again with who you are, Holy Spirit. That by your work in our hearts and our minds and our spirits, we would be aware of your promptings. We would listen and hear your voice telling us what the words are that you want to speak through us. But also, Lord, simply being hopeful, joyful, patient, peaceful, forgiving, generous. Holy Spirit, will you work in each one of us today? Change the atmosphere of our hearts, of our minds, of our spirits, that we might be your agents of transformation and change in the atmosphere around us this week. For your purpose, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.